Our hope is in God. Hope is in God. So we'll get started here. Good evening. Welcome to Grace and Truth International Fellowship, Pastor Ream, Wednesday night Bible study and prayer. So we're going to look into God's Word here for a little bit and see what the Spirit has to say to us tonight. We serve a living God, and it says in Hebrews that today, if we will hear His voice, He takes what's been written down here, and by the power of His Spirit, He causes us to know exactly what He wants us to do, where He wants us to go, and feed us with His Word. And as the Word says, we live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Okay, now we have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's a liar. He's a deceiver. I mean, that's his, that's what his DNA is. He is a liar. He's a deceiver. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. There's no good in him at all. And so he's the one that's against us. But he's really good in what he does, because it's bad, but it's, he knows what he's doing. And so we need God. Without him, without God, we can't face him. But we can overcome him every time when we are in the Spirit. So Satan knows to get us, he's got to get us out of the Spirit, get us away from God, and then he can have his way with us. So let's go to prayer. Father, we look to you. We look to you. just a few. But we look to you. And wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are here. And you have a word for each one of us. You're not just telling us what to do and what not to do. It's not the letter of the law. It's the Spirit that giveth life. We're not under the law. We're under the Spirit. Being led of the Spirit of God, being born again of your Spirit, a new creature in Christ Jesus, that old things passing away, they're passed away. You said that we're look at it, passed away. But we're in the process of being changed into the image of your Son from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we ask you, Lord, I ask, Lord, you give me the words to speak tonight, and out of my innermost being would flow this river of living water that's from your Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's not me. It's your Spirit. We pray, Lord, you'd give us, each of us, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to each one of us, because you want to feed us tonight, and not only, again, tell us what's right and what's wrong. That's what the law did, but it couldn't help anybody be right. But your word, it cleanses us. Your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so, Lord, we can come boldly into the throne of your grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help us in the time of need. So we ask you to do this now, and believing that you, that's what you want. You want to reveal yourself to us. So we're expecting that tonight. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. So turn with me to John chapter 5. So we're going to start in verse 19. Of course, we know the story. He healed the guy at the pool of Bethesda. And he told the guy to take up his bed and walk. And so when the guy started took up his bed and he started walking, it just happened to be the Sabbath day. And so the religious leaders who were under the law, and the law said you didn't work on the Sabbath, well, they had they set up the bounds of what was work and what wasn't work. And one of the things that they set up was that you weren't supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And so they got all upset. And who did this? Who told you to do this? That's against our laws. And so found out it was Jesus. Well, then they went after Jesus. So we start at verse 19, and Jesus answered them because they had come against him for healing this guy on the Sabbath. There's 6 other days to work, they said. Oh my, that's the letter of the law. It kills. 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from one place to another place, has passed from death unto life. So we were all, what the Bible says, dead in trespasses and sin, but we are made alive in Jesus Christ and becomes born again. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're born all over again. We're a new creature, we're a new creation in Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit of God. We're not the old man anymore. That we are to reckon it dead. It's to die. It doesn't want to die. And here's where the battle is. The flesh lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, keeping us from doing and being what God wants us to do and to be. It's the flesh that keeps us from keeping the law. Because the flesh was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and it can't be. So here's Jesus. The Son can do nothing of himself. Now what we want to see here too, Jesus came here, and he came to reveal the Father, but he also came to show us a man born of a woman, a man could keep the law, could keep and fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. And not only that, but then he became the sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world and defeats Satan and turns the whole thing back to bringing it back to what it was before Adam sinned. Because when he made Adam in the beginning, he was perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong with him. And they had communion. He had communion with God. But when he sinned, he lost it. And connection was cut off between him and God. And so everybody born, every seed bears after its kind. And so sin just went from generation to generation to generation. So Jesus is coming here, and he's coming here to fix it. That's what he came so. All right. So that the Son can do nothing of himself. Well, the fact, the truth is that you can't do anything by yourself either. And Paul said that. I'm not sufficient of myself, Paul said, to think anything of myself, but my sufficiency. And your sufficiency is of God. Our confidence isn't in us. Our confidence has to be in God. And Satan wants us to have confidence in ourselves. Oh, we can do this. We'll do the best that we can. Well, the best that we can doesn't make it. It won't make it. It can't happen. But here Jesus gives us an example. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Okay, so the Father loves the Son. Well, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So God is love. God loves you. God called you. God called me. He called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You know what that means? That means you heard Him. And you say, well, no, I didn't hear Him. I didn't hear a voice. I just decided, I just felt I just needed to do this. That's not right. It's God called you. God chose you. God called you by name. Just like calling Lazarus out of the grave. A dead person cannot do anything. But we are called. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people. You might show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. So God chose you. God chose me. Okay? That's how this all started. Okay? And God has a purpose for us. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, before the foundations of the world, He has prepared these works for us to do while we're here on the earth. And the works are to be done to glorify Him through us and push back the darkness, to come against the enemy, to push His kingdom back. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And this is where we are in our relationship with God. As Jesus said, I come to do Thy will, O God. And it says in Hebrews, when He said that, He said, I come to do Thy will, O God. He takes away the first, which is the letter of the law. And Paul said in Corinthians, the letter of the law killeth. It isn't there's something wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's just that the law it couldn't help a person. All it did was said where you were wrong and what you needed to do to be right. But because we were born in sin, we couldn't do what is right. There isn't anybody, there is nobody who, the Bible itself, there's nobody that was justified by keeping the law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the only way out was to be born again. This is God's plan, that man would be born again. So Nicodemus, you're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven or see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again, born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's always going to be flesh. It's got the only thing you do, it's got to die. Okay, it's got to die. You got to reckon it dead indeed unto sin. You got to consider it dead. You got to believe it to be dead. And you got to resist it. And that's what we each one of us have to do. We have to believe in God, though. Okay, through our God, we can do this. But it's a process. And it's a process of faith. It's not a process of, well, just one time and it's done. But it's as long as we're here on the earth, we're going to have persecution. You're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome. Because He has overcome, we can overcome. Because you and I can do all things through Christ. So let's put it this way. We can do all things when we are strengthened by Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? So without Him, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Him. John chapter 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's the new nature. It's the new you. It's being born again. Again, that which is born of God does not sin. It cannot sin because His seed remains in Him. But we are being changed transformed into His image from glory to glory. So it's a process. But we have to, we're not of them that draw back into perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And all the time we're trying to be what God wants us to be, it's not through works of the flesh that we put the flesh to death. It's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to do it. And how that works is believing what God says. Just simply believing. They entered not into the promised land because they didn't mix faith with the words that they heard. And faith is a substance of things you're hoping for. You're expecting them, but you don't have them. But you're expecting them because you're believing God. You're believing what God says. So he that heareth my word and believeth on him. Hear. Okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's talking about, I believe, he's talking about now. He's talking about when he goes to the cross and dies, that when they hear his voice, they're going to live. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They were all dead in their sins. But when Jesus dies on the cross and they believe him, then they have life. And that more abundant. It's everlasting life. For as the Father hath life in himself, so is he given the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Who is he judging? Who are we to judge? We're not to judge one another. He came. Now is the prince of this world judged. So we're here to judge too. We're here to execute the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Psalms 149. Two-edged sword in her hand. We're to execute. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word that God has spoken to you. The word that you heard. Well, I'm not hearing anything. Oh, yes, you are. Again, he called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He's speaking. But we're expecting to hear from in these ears. And it's in our spirits. Romans 8. His spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are sons of God. And we call him Abba, Father. So he is your Father in heaven. He is your Father. Your Father protects you. The Father provides for you everything you need for life and godliness. But my part is to believe him. Now, Satan is the liar and the deceiver and the counterfeiter. He'll do anything to counterfeit or get us, to draw us away from God, from the source. From the Spirit of God, from believing his word. And because we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity, our tendency is, I don't hear him. You know, I'm reading it. But no, you are hearing. He is speaking to you. He is speaking to me. It's not, I got to ask, seek, and knock. Open our ears. Open our eyes. Okay, that verse again. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Peradventure, God would grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So I got to fight. I've got to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. We have an enemy, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, we're walking by faith and not by sight. So we're not seeing it in the natural. You're not hearing it in the natural. But in your innermost being. See, Jesus said, all ye that are thirsty, come and drink. Drink what? Well, he didn't say it at the beginning, but he did say it after that. Come and drink, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. So we're drinking the Spirit, but we're not actually doing in the natural, in this world. In the Spirit, we're drinking in. We're drinking in. We're eating the Word. We're drinking in the Spirit of God. It's just, All ye that thirst, come and drink. Jesus said,
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
So the rest comes, and Hebrews 4 says, we're to labor to enter into the rest, where we cease our own works, or ceasing from our own works, as God did from His, and we're believing in His work. We're believing in His promises, these exceeding great and precious promises. By these promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. And it's not something we work up or work in. It's something that God gives to you. It's something that, it's a gift that it goes into you. And so, just like when we get out of the Spirit, you don't have to try to sin. You're going to sin because that's the nature. You won't believe God, and it doesn't have to be what you think is sin and what isn't sin. It's just you won't do what God wants you to do and be where God wants you to be or say what God wants you to say. But when we're in the Spirit, we might not be connected to God up here, but it doesn't matter. It's going to come up out of your innermost being because it's not you. It's the Spirit of God in you. He doeth the works. As Jesus said, it's my Father in me. He is the one that's doing the works. So if by the Spirit we do mortify, we put to death the deeds of the flesh, we put to death. And so who's going to save me from this body of death? Who's going to save me from my flesh? Because my flesh does not want to do what God wants it to do. It always will rebel against it. It might do good things, as long as it's not what God wants you to do. As long as you're deceived and thinking, oh, I'm doing good things. Everybody else says it's good things. But if it's not what God wants me to do, it's disobedience. Okay? Okay, we don't have time to just really get into this. But if you go keep reading through that chapter, you'll see he talks about hearing. He talks about it's life. And then he says about being sent. And 36, it says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. These religious leaders who were not obeying God, were not doing God's will, but were very religious. Priests, and they were the ones that, you know, people looked at as being, you know, spiritual leaders, and they weren't even following God. They weren't doing God's will. He says, the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. You know, the enemy could turn that right around to you tonight and say, look, you never heard him. And you've never seen him. But that's a lie. You have heard him, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be seeking God. You wouldn't be looking to God. You wouldn't be trying to be what God wants you to be. But see, God doesn't want me to try. This is the straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. I mean, it's impossible for anybody to find it unless God guides you to it. And through it. Well, then, what can I do? I mean, if I can't, through my diligence, through my strength, through my seeking, through my what I'm doing, if I can't get in there, if I can't make it, then what's the use of trying? Well, because God already made a way, and that's what we're to do. We're to follow His way. My thoughts, he says, are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And that's why Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God wants us to enter into a place of rest, and he'll take care of the rest. When we do it his way, then he, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, changes us from glory to to glory. And we're being changed inside, not by our might, not by our power, but by His Spirit. Now, I'll take you over to Colossians, and we're only going to hit a little bit here to Colossians. Could speak about Galatians, but we're going to Colossians because we want to see this. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. And this is a warning. This is a warning from Paul to the Galatians. When we read about these different churches, different places that Paul wrote to, they all have different things he tells them. They all need help. None of them have arrived. Okay, so, we'll read, start verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. So he's praying for them at Laodicea, and for as many as not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Their hearts would be comforted. Why does it need to be comforted? Because they're going through things that we go through. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Don't think it strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you. Being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. All these things that he's talking about that we're just glancing over here, they're deep things beyond what I can get, but beyond you can get right now. But this is God's provided this, in whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and its steadfastness of your faith in Christ. We're told to be confident of this very thing. He that begun a good work in you, he said he's going to finish it. He's going to perform it. He's going to do it. Amen? He doesn't want us to be like Paul's brethren, the Jews, who went about trying to establish their own righteousness and didn't submit themselves to the righteousness that God was going to give to them. They were trying to work it. They were trying to be what God wanted to be in the flesh by following the law. And that's not what God wants. We're not to follow the law anymore. We're in the Spirit. We're under the Spirit of the covenant of exceeding great and precious promises, because that's how we obtain the divine nature. And when we have the divine nature, then we're being filled up with His Spirit. And less we serve the flesh, and more we serve God. And we are changed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, from glory to glory. 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. This is how we're to do. Come unto me, He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Stop trying to do it in the natural, in the flesh, and just believe what I'm telling you. Just receive it and believe it and rejoice in it. It's exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, thanking God that He that started this work in you, He said, God, you said you're going to finish it. And I believe you can finish it. I believe you're strong enough to do that. You're big enough to do that. You're greater than Satan. You're greater than I am. And I believe you can get me across there. I believe your promises. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments, the elements of this world, and not after Christ. The enemy will do anything to get us separated from Jesus Christ, from the promises of God, the Word of God, because then he has no power over us. As long as I'm going back and forth between the law and the promises of God, he can condemn me. When he says there is no condemnation, that Jesus died, there is no condemnation. Yeah, but what if I sin? Confess it to the Father. And he said, I'll forgive it. And then I'll cleanse you from it. It can't be that simple. I'm trying to quit. I'm trying. No, don't try to quit. Try to believe God. God, help me to believe. Help, I believe. Help my unbelief. Right? Faith is the victory. Faith is believing what God says, not what I feel or see or what it looks like or feels like. And you are complete. And for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Jesus Christ. Okay? In Christ, do you believe? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, if you do, if we do that, then you are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So just as a Jewish infant was circumcised, meaning that was a sign that he was a Jew, because he was circumcised. Every Jew, every male Jew had to be circumcised. And so they were. But now he's not talking about the flesh. In the flesh, he's talking about the spirit. He's talking about your old nature. It got to be cut away. And you can't cut it away by trying to be better. It's, okay, now this is, says, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Who's going to save me from this body of death, Paul said. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Well, how did Jesus Christ do it? Because it's already done. That's what he said. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of, or faith in, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, with Christ, forgiving you all trespasses. All of them. He's already done it. It's done through Jesus Christ. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's why they cannot condemn you. They cannot come against you because of your sin. Because if we do sin, we confess our sin, and he'll forgive us of it. Well, but it says it's already done. Yeah. God's called it done. God called it done. It's called it done. Just like he called Abraham. Abram. He called Abram, hey, I'm changing your name to Abraham, father of many nations. Again, when did he do it? When he had a bunch of kids? Nope, he never had a bunch of kids. He had one kid, one seed of promise. One seed of promise. But it came to pass, and it's still coming to pass. We're part of that pass. Amen? Now, go to chapter 3. Because we're skipping a lot of good stuff here. But if ye then being risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, and you have been. I mean, but our part is to believe it. God did it. Christ did it. Christ paid for it. He went through the pain. He went through all that stuff. That's why Paul was writing to the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not believe the truth?
Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you.
In keeping the law, they're actually going into idolatry, because they're rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and going back to keeping the law, trying to keep the law. And all that does is put you under a curse. Cursed is every man that continueth not in everything the law requires, but through Christ. If you then be risen with Christ, and we have been, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. That's your old nature. It's not going to die. You're to reckon it dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now look at this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness. Well, see, there you go. We're supposed to not do that stuff. So we have to do it. Yeah, but you can never do it if you don't believe it. It's already been dealt with. He told us that it's already done. So it isn't like, well, oh, I can go do what I want to. No, it isn't that. It's now, by the power of the Spirit, I can put things where they belong. Jesus went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So he can even raise the dead. He says, if my Father raises the dead, I can raise the dead. Well, in this case, it's the other way around. We can put it where it belongs, where it should be. It should be dead. Amen? But it's a work of faith. It's a work. We got to put things in the right perspective. We got to believe, I am born of the Spirit of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things become new. But if I do mess up, if I do get into the flesh, then all I got to do is confess it to God. No matter what I feel like, I confess it to God. He says he'll forgive it and then he'll cleanse me from it. Amen? And what I got to do then is to believe that and not receive the condemnation that comes from the devil. Because this guy, and we're not going to take the time to go through it, but if you read that down there, he's telling him all this stuff. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous. Hey, this is a church. These people are saved. What are you saying this for? Because they needed to hear it. But there's only one way to get rid of it. There's only one way to be victorious, and that's to do it God's way. Not my way, not your way. His way. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And if I'm following somebody, then I'm not the leader. In other words, I don't have to worry about turning here or going there or be there. He wants me to get to the place where I just follow him. And then I don't have to worry whether I'm hearing or not hearing. I'm just following him. Yeah, but I can't see him. That's because we're looking with these eyes and we're trying to hear with these ears, and he's speaking to you through the Spirit, through your spirit. And then another verse that has come to me with this, and again, this is part of a big thing. It means beyond me, but he's showing this stuff. That's why he says this: the word of faith is nigh thee. It's even in thy heart and in thy mouth. No, it says if you confess him with your mouth, and if you believe in your heart and confess him with the mouth, you're saved, delivered, set free, made whole. You're saved. No, that's the initial salvation. Yeah, but it's also receiving the it's also getting the promise. When you believe it in your heart and then you confess it with your mouth, you confess it with your mouth. You got to watch what your mouth says, because if you believe in your heart something and it's not right and it doesn't match with the confessing, it isn't. It's being double-minded, and you're not going to get anything. It's just the way it's set up. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We know there's more, there's always more. But Lord, we got to hear it. We've got to hear it, and we got to receive it by faith. And even if we don't understand all of it, it's just a matter if we receive your word with meekness, it will. James says it will save our souls. It will make us free. It will give us power to be and do what you want us to do. You are at work changing us into the image of your Son by the power of your Spirit from glory to glory. And we live, we receive life from every word that you speak to us. Doesn't matter if we're reading the Bible, we're driving a car, we're walking, or in the store. Doesn't matter. You can talk to us. And when we get those gems, they're gems. We need to hold them and hold fast to them, because that's speaking, you speaking to us individually. Not with, hey, the crowd, everybody over there, but speaking to us. And we live by those words. So we thank you for them, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord.